Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence calling, and welcome to another unofficial Eurovision podcast. Yes, it's another jukebox jury looking at some of the songs that are entering this year's Eurovision Song Contest to be held May 25th, 27th and 29th over in Oslo and the Telenor Stadium. Looking at the songs that are making up the Grand Prix Song Contest of Europe. Joining me again from Kingdom FN, we have Elaine Dove.
Hello, people.
And from the Scotsman, David Elder.
Hello again.
Yes, we are here again and we're going to start off straight into the mix. Five songs. As always, we're going to rate these as hit, miss, or maybe do's or null or whichever the French for six is in the middle. And if you think that mispronunciation is probable and that I don't want to risk saying the French for six, then we are going to have a little bit of fun with Finland. Kunkuskajat there from Finland and Taiolki Ella. You know, for 40 years, Finland sent little folk numbers that didn't trouble Eurovision at all. Then they sent Lordi, and they won. And now they're sending folk numbers again. I think Finland are trying to tell us something.
Yeah, I quite like this little song, to be honest. It's not a top 10 one for me. I love it's the year of the accordion. It's quite big in Eurovision this year, which gives this sort of hand clappy, nicey beat to it. But as Ewan did with the title, very difficult to sing along to, even phonetically. You can't even attempt it.
Yeah, there's something quite sweet about it. It's a bit like two mad sisters at a wedding that got up to give you a wee bit of a folk song. And that's essentially what it is. They're very pretty, but the song is lacking probably a tune. No, that's very unkind. It is, as Elaine says, very catchy and you can clap along to it, but you've not a hope in hell of knowing what they're singing about. I'm not sure it's going to do that well.
I think the worrying thing is about 3 weeks ago, Finland actually released an official dance remix of this song. All the lyrics were the same, yet the song suddenly turned into something completely different. Now, I know that there are deadlines you have to get the song into, and you have to get it into the CD, but the March the 25th deadline is just the song, the artist, and the lyrics that are going in, not the actual song itself. You don't have to submit that officially until, I think, about 2 weeks before the contest. So they could have switched this to the dance remix, and I actually think that would have done a little bit better, because you still have that cute folksiness you still would have that inherent Finnishness that goes with the contest that would make it stand out, as the Finns are very good at doing when they are talking. But no, they've just, well, as far as we know, they've just kept it as this little folk number. And much as I think it's lovely and it makes the commentator's job on the night far, far easier, that's not the point of the contest. So I'm going to have to, unfortunately, Finland, put this down as a miss. No point from me.
It's a maybe for me. It's lacking in something, but as you say, if they altered it slightly, perhaps it's there or thereabouts. Definitely a maybe.
I'm afraid I think it's a miss, but I do like them, and I'd love Finland, but I'm really sorry. It's a miss for me.
So there we go then. Now, as always, at the end of this, we'll be turning up the scores to find out our winner of this round of Jukebox Jury, and we'll be discussing whether we think they have a good chance of winning. You'll have known that, of course, if you've listened to the show before. If you haven't, if you've just discovered that, and you'll be able to listen to all the shows, head back to bit.ly/UNESC, and you will get the links into the podcast, or you can just search for Unofficial Eurovision in iTunes, and there we go. We're going to go now down to Slovenia, and yet again, I'm going to have fun with this one. I'm going to go with the English translation. This is folk rock from Slovenia.
Ali čisto malo fantazije.
se polka utiluje ritmi skrije. Slovenia just seem to be working their way through the Spice Girls. Last year they sent Ginger Spice, and now they've sent, you know, Posh Spice, and next year they're going to send Bananarama. I can see what they're doing with this one. Folk rock, we're doing a little bit of folk, we're doing a little bit of rock, we're mashing it up.
The title says the big problem with this. It's folk rock. I like folk, and I like rock. Not together. That is a big, big problem. I really quite like the tune. It's a nice little dancey tune. And if it had all been done in either rock or in folk, it might have had a chance of working. As it stands, it's awful.
I mean, you look at one side of the stage and there's this lovely folk singer who just looks straight out of, if Slovenia have biscuit tins that you sell shortbread in, straight out of that. And on the other side, you've got Stan Bush, the guy whose one hit song is about the Transformers.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this song is just a mess. It's really parochial. I'm sure in Slovenia, the idea of having some Tyrolean folk and some rock stuff together probably works really, really well. But I think to European listeners, they're just not going to get it. You know, I was at a party a few weeks ago where we voted on these songs, and there's 39 songs in this contest, and that song didn't pick up a single vote. And I think that says a lot. Just I can't see what the audience for this is at all.
It could have had a big folk audience and a big rock audience, and as it does, it's just turned both audiences right off. No bois.
Miss.
Ah, I didn't want to give a full nil. He just gave me that nil, nil, nil for Yvette, because we might need it later. Right then, Eurovision is full of many stories. Obviously, there are 39 three-minute-long stories. Behind all of those, there are more stories. There are more in-depth stuff. Some of them are just nice, gentle stories like Thomas the Tank Engine, and one day the Fat Controller said, let's get Pete Waterman to write a song. And then, of course, there are epics like War and Peace, full of political intrigue, which means we have to turn to the Ukraine. And first up from the Ukraine, and note those words because we will come back to there later, we have Vasily Lazovich with the imaginatively titled, and I have to thank you, Vasily, for this one. I can actually pronounce this one with no problems. I love you.
I love you. I love you. I love you. Кохаю, кохаю тебе. My darling, I love you. Кохаю, кохаю тебе.
David, I love you?
Yeah, I don't really know what to say about this song.
Elaine?
Yeah, kind of in the same vein as David. I'm afraid I don't love you.
Oh, what about the song?
I listened to it and did think it's 3 minutes of my life that I can't have back again.
Do you know, I think his big problem is he's got a really, really strong accent and you can't understand everything that he's saying. And it's almost like Charles Aznavour singing If slowed down to 16 revolutions a minute.
Kids, look him up on Wikipedia.
But no, it just doesn't do anything for me, I'm afraid. I think it's dull.
It almost feels like a slight parody of Eurovision. There's so much repetition of I Love You. And it is, again, that slightly slower number. It makes the song try and sound a little bit more worthy, but in the end, it just comes off as a little bit of a pastiche. I think the worst thing I can say about this song is I can quite clearly see Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders using this exact song in a Eurovision spoof.
I also felt when I watched it with the, you know, bringing in the piano, Andrew Lloyd Webber did it last year and it worked. Didn't work for Ukraine.
Indeed. And let's be honest now, Ukraine aren't sending that song. Because in an amazing fit of Eurovision intrigue, Vasily certainly had a close relationship with the president of Ukrainian television. When the president of Ukrainian television was deposed in a cunning business cutthroat move, they decided that they were going to send another song. They didn't like Vasily's song. So that's not the Ukrainian song. They chose another one. And when they chose that one, what happened, David?
This is what happened.
Actually, no. No, you missed it. There's another song in the middle. Elaine remembers.
Yes, they picked another song that broke the rules of the competition. Therefore, they couldn't send their second song either.
Yeah, so they had to send a third song. Now, for those of you who've been going, hold on, eight shows, 39 songs. How are you going to work this one out, Ewan? This is how. We're going to play both the Ukrainian songs. We're not going to play all three because 41 is also prime, makes it even more complicated. So Ukraine's actual entry to Eurovision this year. Remember, they decided this was better than Vasily. This is Sweet People by Aloysia. Certain Tom and Jerry cartoons that start off in the alleyway with lots of cats screeching and lots of people banging drums in the background and throwing things at the cat to try and make them stop. And that's what I think about this song. Much as Vasily's song was just, you know, we didn't even write it Hit No Limits because it's not going to be at Eurovision, I actually think they would have been better staying with what they had.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, we've said eventually they chose this song. They actually didn't choose this song because the singer was chosen. Her song was then deemed illegal, broke the rules. So what they said was, well, we'll keep the singer and we'll let her provide the song. Therefore, nobody actually voted for this song and nobody in their right mind would.
I so agree. There's one word for this song in my mind, and that word...
Do you use another one?
The word is vile. It's just horrible. All I can really say about this is, come back, Vasily. All is forgiven. We love you, Vasily. Please come back.
Indeed. And you know, Vasily even got to go into that second final, and I think he came about 14th out of 20th. And he's quite low down the table.
He did. He came really low down. And I don't know why, because in the first contest, they had to televote, and that song won by a long way. So maybe the Ukrainian public were being particularly fickle with him. I don't know.
Now, there's an interesting question here. Ukraine, of course, a lot of people get, oh, political voting. Ukraine always gets through. Political voting, of course, as we know, as fans, and which you'll all get to know when we do it on the Q&A, is a shorthand for very complicated social and economic problems inside of Europe. And you would expect Ukraine to get out the final no matter what. But with this, you know, the story is going to work either way. Either how have they got out the semi-final, or Ukraine haven't got out the second semi-final.
Yeah, they're in the second semi-final, which is one of the toughest... Well, one of the toughest. It's the toughest. There are only two. What am I talking about? You would think, with all the shenanigans that went on, if you're going to submit an entry late on, at least use it to your advantage and submit a good one.
You've paid the daily fine to the EBU organisers, so, you know, take that chance. You know, a lot of countries have taken that chance to do a remix. You had a chance to look at all the entries and just, you know, I know what's missing. This. Bang. No. Ukraine, Vasily would have still been a miss for me, to be honest, but this is, Aliosh, it's definitely a miss.
It's definitely a miss for me.
Yeah, it's a miss for the song, it's a miss for the selection, it's a miss for everything that went along with it, to be honest, for me.
It's a real shame. It was theirs for the taking. The contest needed one instant fantastic pop song, which Ukraine has given us over the last few years a number of times. This is the year they didn't do it, and they could have stormed the contest with one.
You have to say, this could have been the year of Annie Lorak.
It definitely could have done. That's what they needed to bring to the contest, and it would have been theirs for the taking, and they missed the opportunity.
Yep, I agree with you. I mean, she did well in her year. This would have been her year, though.
Indeed, yeah. And she's still a great friend. She was the interval act at the Junior Eurovision that's just passed. You know, still there, still loving the show. I'm sure if they had just went, look, national emergency, we should put some sequins on. She would have been there, you know? I mean, there's got to be a little diamond-y phone somewhere underneath a little glass container in some sort of Ukrainian Batman's office. You know, press the button and, you know, bookcase slides back, Annie Lorak appears. Woo! And the five dancers in the booth. But not to be. Eurovisions are full of many misses, many legends of what could have been. And, let's take this one. Let's finish off with Greece for this edition of Jukebox Jury. Very patriotic no matter where they are in the world. If you're having a Eurovision party and you have one Greek person, trust me, they will know the lyrics to this and they will shout your roof off. This is Opa.
όσα χρωστούσα και τα δανεικά. Βάζω μια φωτιά σ' όλα τα παλιά. Όλα θα τα αλλάξω και θα το φωνάξω. Περασμένα, ξεχασμένα κι όλα απ' την αρχή ξανά.
Open there, the entry for Greece coming from Georgios Alkaios and Friends. And I have to say, you know, it's a Eurovision entry from Greece that is Eurovision by numbers for Greece, isn't it?
Absolutely. Do you know, Ewan, it's like village people never went away. All that leather on stage, joyful singing, young men and an old man singing at the front. You know, it's great fun. I love it.
You know, it just sums up Greece. It's like we're going to send a great pop song. We're going to send a man who really slightly should know better. I mean, we have Sagopo, we have Sakis. Now we have Georgios, who puts up his own money to make his own video and then remembers that he must wear black with a black background, because then we can't see that, you know, he likes his hummus quite a lot.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, it's so Greek. Every time you hear an oppa or a yeah, you imagine a plate being smashed, a glass being clinked.
Not with the way the Greek economy's going.
Well, that's true. Lager everywhere. It's just, it's so much fun. All I want to say is, Georgios, I want to be one of your friends.
The thing that is going to scare me most is when that goes on live in the arena, I just know that most of the people sitting in the sort of front pit are going to be on their feet and jumping at exactly the same time.
Definitely. I mean, it's my thing now is, you know the song, I'm going to learn exactly where every ooh and opa goes so I can join in with them.
It's what Eurovision's about. It's fantastic. It's really catchy. It's anthemic. It's poppy. And I think this is going to do really, really well. I love it.
I mean, even if Greece sent Nana Mouskouri, they're guaranteed eighth. Can this go any higher?
Absolutely. Of course it can.
Definitely. I mean, Calamira did really, really well with a more, you know, poppy type song, whereas this is just makes everyone want to chink the glasses and rub each other's backs and cheer and clap and hooray.
It's the party song of this year's contest, I think.
There we go then. So, well, it's a hit for me for all of the above reasons. It's a great song. It's memorable. By the time you get to the end, people will be smiling. They'll be having a good time. They'll all be able to go, oppa! Because, you know, and they'll probably have a couple of glasses in them as well when you're having a party at home and everything. That's going to help. It has to be deuce for me. It has to be a hit.
Yeah, Ouzo, hit for me as well.
It's an oppa hit for me.
There we go. So we look back and we have to say it's been a bit of a hit and miss contest. There's been one hit and the rest have been misses. Back in, let's see, Ukraine, take one, zero. Ukraine, take two, we didn't actually listen to, but trust me, zero. Ukraine, take three, zero. Slovenia, zero. Finland, six. Greece, 36.
Oppa!
Oppa! So the big question, and we've kind of touched on it, but let's stay with it. Can Greece win? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say Greece can't win with this because it's a bloke on stage with dancers in leather. I think if this had been a female singer with blokes on stage in leather, then I think it would have just helped just a little bit more. Georgios, unfortunately, can sometimes look a little bit creepy. So, yes, it's going to be a high scoring for Greece, but it's going to be rather like last year. Sakis looked a bit older. He had his Swiss Army stage knife tool, looked a bit of a creepy, didn't quite manage it. I don't see this winning.
Now, you see, where you're talking creepy, you don't get creepier than Dima Bilan, and he won it 2 years ago for Russia, so I think Greece has got a good chance.
Yeah, you remember, you also have to take into account Greece gets a lot of votes from a lot of countries, and yeah, it didn't go so well for Sakis last year, but this song's just going to appeal to a much wider audience, and I think it could get votes from a lot of countries.
Well, we have a split jury here, but that's okay. We're not stupid enough to completely put down our credentials and say what we think is going to win, at least not yet. So it remains for me to thank you all for listening. It's Eurovision Jukebox Jury. You can get in touch with me at Ewan on Twitter, ewanspence@gmail.com. David Elder and Elaine Dove, we'll have their details for their Facebooks and everything. Well, I'll give you a clue. It's David Elder on Facebook and Elaine Dove on Facebook. It's not that difficult, folks. I remember the old days when we had to use GeoCities addresses. Oh, yeah, kids, that's your grandparents. But David, Elaine, thank you for coming along to Eurovision Jukebox Jury for this show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ewan.
Oh. And, get out of here. Get out. And when you get out there, tell the electrical guitars to start playing.